The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So for those of you who have been following along week to week, where are we in the text? Do you know? We're back on that hill, back on that mountain. We're back on the Sermon on the Mount. This is chapter 6. Remember, we stopped at the end of chapter 5. Remember that be perfect business? As the Lord is perfect? That hard thing that we were told? Now Jesus starts to talk about the way in which people express their faith, at least those people that he was with and there on the mountain. I think it speaks to us today. That's why if you saw the title of my sermon, I love this word, posers. How many people here know what a poser is? If you were alive in the 80s, you probably heard a lot. You heard a lot in movies, people calling each other posers. And poser is simply a person who pretends to be something they're not. That's exactly who Jesus is talking about today in our text. He's like, guys, here's the deal. It's not about how good you look to others in your faith. That's not what this is about. It's not about something that you do with a big flourish. It's not that you're going to impress anybody with faith here on earth that's going to make any difference about. He's talking about a relationship with God, about your Father who sees. And that's where the important relationship is. He's trying to get people to understand that. And so this idea of poser came up. Do you know posers in our society today? A lot of, I'm not really a doctor, but I play one on TV. A lot of actors are posers. They get paid pretty good for it, too. But unfortunately, we have other posers in places in the world that are scary. And probably the scariest thing that I see posers do is when they use the Word of God to put forth one of their own agendas. When you hear someone talking about a snippet from the Bible, that's called proof texting. And I tell you what, I can move ahead any agenda I would like by proving it with one short piece of Scripture. It's only when we look at Scripture in the whole that we begin to understand what it is that Christ is trying to tell us. We can't boil down what Christ has said to people through the Scriptures to one tasty little soundbite. Our people today crave soundbites. We are trained as people in the world to love a soundbite. I need the news quick. I need the news short. I need you to just tell me what you're trying to tell me. And that's not what the Scripture is about. The Scripture that we are encouraged to read by Christ Himself is about understanding the context of what's happening in a place. And understanding everything that goes around some of our most favorite short verses so that we really get the full bouquet of what it is that Scripture is trying to tell us. If we don't do that, we're pretending we understand the Scripture. If you live by some short phrase without understanding everything that Christ has said, or that you're at least trying to move towards everything that Christ has said, then you're a poser. You can't just plug a verse in for the rest of your life and say, that's all I need. We're coming up to an interesting time as we come out of our time with teaching our young people in confirmation. I'm encouraging them to find their own verse, their confirmation verse. And I've got a couple of tools online for you to use, guys, to find that verse and to send that to me so we can all hear what it is that verse that you want us all to know about. But as they're researching that verse, I don't want them to rely on just that one verse for the rest of their life. I think a great verse for confirmation is, that's a wonderful thing. You can put that verse out there, but understand that that doesn't describe exactly who you are, confirmants. That doesn't describe everything about you, and it certainly doesn't describe everything that's happened in the Bible. That one short verse is important for us for that day of confirmation that we'll do in October, but it is not everything. So I've had confirmation students come back with, they want their confirmation verse to be like, Jesus wept. Right? Pastor, can I have Jesus wept be my confirmation verse? And all I can only think is their parents would probably say yes. Jesus wept. But I encourage them to find something that really reflects who they are, their understanding of themselves, but not as a proof of who they are. Instead, as something that helps us have just the quickest glimpse of what they understand faith is for themselves. So it bothers me a little bit when people try to hang something that Christ said on a billboard and sell something to me. That's not what the Scripture was meant for, right? The Scripture was meant for us to look at, to consider, in context, who was it that the first hearers were of a particular Scripture? What did that mean? Why is it important to us now? Where does it connect? So we get through this part where Jesus then talks to us about, and I love the part at the end where they say, whenever you fast, do not look dismal. We talked about giving up something for Lent. Remember that? And one of the common things that you'll hear people that have given up something for Lent, they'll try to tell you how awful their life is now. I can't believe the headaches I get. I gave up chocolate. I gave up caffeine. My head hurts. I don't feel good. I wish I hadn't given up sugar. Right? And it's funny because we turn this faith practice into something about ourselves when we do that. I understand that you get a headache from not having caffeine after having it for a long time. But when we turn it around to be all about ourselves, that giving up something for the Lenten season, then we've missed absolutely what it is that God is calling us to do. It's not to give up something to tell everybody how painful it was for us. It's so that we might have a small window into what is so painful for others. How difficult life might be for someone who never gets food, for someone who doesn't have a place to live. We give up one creature comfort for ourselves and we complain to everybody about it, but we often fail to realize the practice is there for us to recognize those who have been marginalized and those who Christ calls us to be the neighbor. Finally, at the end, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is an indicator of who you are by what you surround yourself with and by what you keep on the front burner. Christ is asking us to consider what those things are that we say are most important to us. In that last line, it's an incredible challenge for us to reconsider what it means for us to be a faithful person and understand again that it's not about us. It's just not about us. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. We remember at this time, Lord, our mortality and how everything we have and everything we hope to ever have is a gift from you. The greatest gift you give us is Jesus Christ. Help us to always center and focus on that great gift. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we continue with our hymn, please rise as you're able.